We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Final furlong here on GND. We're brought to you, as always, by the law firm of Condori and Morod. What are you doing to protect your family's assets? As the exclusive sponsor of our show, Condori and Morod can help you draft your last will and testament, set up a living trust, or put together a medical power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their attorneys today by visiting kmlawyers.com and be sure to let them know that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. So our commander wheel, or the Local 53 wheel, today landed on Dietrich Wise. Again, don't say Dietrich, because that's what I've been saying for pretty much his entire career, and I've been wrong, apparently.
That is not Wise.
Oh, thank you. That's an LM, Danny. But in terms of his production this year on this revamped defensive line, you could see the theme, right? I like John Allen a lot. Consummate pro from here, did everything right at all times. I'm a big John Allen dude. But they wanted beef up front. Enter Javon Kinlaw. Enter Dietrich Wise. Enter Eddie Goldman. This is not a downsizing. This is an upsizing. This is a strength, power, immovable object type defensive upgrade, and he kind of fits into that plan.
I think he does. To me, this group as a whole is going to be looked at as two separate units, right? Joe Witt Jr. made the quote famous last year, "We're going to roll with a deep crew." I think there's eight starters up front along your defensive line. Your first group that starts the game, and then the four rotational pieces. So I'm looking at guys like Daron Payne, Dorrance Armstrong, Johnny Newton, Dietrich Wise, Eddie Goldman, as you mentioned, Javon Kinlaw, Jalen Holmes, a guy that didn't mention a lot. So in terms of trying to come up with a statistical projection for Wise, look, I think anywhere between 4 to 7 sacks, I'm okay with. Because I understand that the opportunities may be scarce. He may not get a whole bunch of pass rushing opportunities, right? There are other guys that can get after the quarterback better than he can. So honestly, I would love if his pass rush snaps were limited, because that's not what he does best. I think his biggest impact probably comes by way of analytic. How many run stuffs do you have? Dietrich Wise, that was a category that I thought John and Duran should be measured by more last year when we were talking about the run defense woes and that they're getting double teamed.
No, I think that's fair. Everybody always looks at sacks as the end-all kind of deal. I think that's fair to broaden the scope there.
There are other metrics to evaluate these defensive linemen, and I think for Dietrich, see, I'm doing it again, that may be the metric that you look at. It may not be sacks or tackles for loss. It could just be run stuff. The other thing is the eye test, right? Maybe I'm a little bit different because I played, you know, the defensive line, offensive line when I was having my hand in the dirt back in the day. I look at the O-line, D-line first and foremost when I'm watching a game. It's the thing that naturally catches my attention. I just don't want to see him put on his ass, right? I want to see him upright when the play finishes. I want to see him keeping the outside arm free and doing all the badass run-stuffing things that I think he has the potential to do. But in terms of getting caught up on a sack number, I'm not too worried about it. Maybe how many the percentage of snaps that he plays could be indicative of how well he's performing as well.
So go back to it. 2022, he played, I think it was 70% of the snaps. Like he was the dude.
That's a lot for a defensive lineman.
That's a lot for a D lineman.
Yeah.
7.5 sacks, career high. That number dipped over the last couple of years, 57, 43 for a defense that was kind of moving on, getting younger.
Yeah.
You know, so now he's part of a rotation. Do you think he tops 55%?
Probably not. They're deep at
what about 50?
I think he can play 50% of that. 55 may be realistic. I think we're deeper at that spot than people are giving it credit for. I got the chance to talk to Daryl Tapp, the defensive line coach, at the conclusion of mandatory minicamp, and one guy that they were blushing about at that defensive end spot, we haven't even mentioned my guy, Javonte Jean-Baptiste, as a part of that defensive line rotation. Jalen Holmes. They brought in Jalen Holmes during the season. He's got a different type of body type to where he's thick enough to play on the edge, and he's mobile enough to give you pass rush juice, but he's also strong enough to take on blocks on the interior. I view Dietrich as that same type of guy.
Well, it's crowded
where he's
now,
got the inside-outside versatility.
How many D linemen are you keeping?
11.
You're keeping 11?
11, yes.
Do you not have a kicker, punter, or backup quarterback?
I'm keeping 3 running backs. You need more. Like, that is a position group where you don't want to not have enough.
I think 11 would be pretty unprecedented.
So you got your 4 starters.
Yeah.
They're going to be 4 guys that play behind them.
I get that.
And then you got 3 fringies dudes.
I mean, if you've got some practice squad flexibility there for some, I guess I get what you're saying.
11's crazy. Maybe 10.
11 on the active roster?
10. I will go with 10. How many did they keep last year? I mean, we could do the numbers game real quick here, but like it's a position
group. I think it was 8 or 9 last year for the most part. I can look that up for you, though. I can get
maybe 9 is the right number. It's your 2 sets of starters and then 1 guy that's kind of like a hybrid. But I think that's a crew you want to roll pretty deep at, because a lot of everybody that makes the roster is going to play. It's not one of those situations where you're like, your 6th offensive line is not really getting burned unless somebody gets hurt.
So I'm looking up in season, January 1st, 2025, they had 9 on the active roster. That included Jalen Holmes, Javonte John-Baptiste, Johnny Newton, Sheldon Day, Cleveland Farrell. We haven't mentioned Day either.
Yeah.
Fowler, Payne, Allen, Armstrong. So, yeah, I mean, 11, I think it would be pretty unprecedented. But I get your point.
Yeah.
There are a lot of names here. And that's, if you can't do the, we got Myles Garrett.
Mm-hmm.
We got, I don't know, Jared Verse or one of these badasses, mm-hmm. Guys on the rise. You go, we'll do. We got to do it this way. We're going to throw fresh bodies at the problem every down.
I think that's the way to do it, because there's nothing like being a defensive lineman in a game and you're tired and you can't fire off the ball the way that you want to and you can't set the edge and you're having to think too much. I think keeping these guys fresh is the way to go, especially when you don't have a real difference maker along this group, to where if you take them out, you're feeling like you're losing a whole bunch.
Right. I want, on both sides of the ball, especially offense, but at a couple defensive spots too. Because Grant and I differ on this in general. I need monsters on defense. And I, in general, I've seen too many good defenses with guys just playing their assignments. Not great defenses. The great ones have guys that play their assignments.
The cyborgs.
And also cannibals that, like, don't allow any forward progress and hate you. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. with the dark hearts that are pursuing and hunting for joy. I saw too much Warwick Holdman and dudes you've never heard of just keeping leverage on the outside shoulder of the guard and being very sound on defense, or Greg Williams and company, to ascribe to that. That said, to be great, to be really, really good, mm-hmm. you need an unblockable, uncheckable force, right?
And teams have it.
And that's my view on offense, is I want guys that, I don't care what the scheme is. If you throw it up to A.J. Brown, he's coming down with it.
No matter what. I don't care
what the scheme is.
Yeah.
You throw it to Justin Jefferson, he's going to do a catch it with his left or right pinky finger and haul it in 17 people, right?
Yeah.
And that's kind of my view. So I want studs. If I can't get them, and the defensive end market was paper thin this offseason, just as it was last offseason, too, to be honest with you.
It's a position group to where if you're hitting free agency, you're probably there's something wrong with you.
Same with the tackle market, right? So I get it, and I also thought that there might be, again, a different investment. Maybe I thought trade. I don't know. But they went with the by committee approach here, which is always, to me, I don't say a risk, but it's a little bit, not having that, it's 4th and 7.
And look,
From your 20, you got to get a stop. Do you have someone that can bother the passer?
We still got some time. I have not closed the door on Trey Hendrickson.
What?
I haven't. Some people have.
I have.
I have not, because it's one of those situations where, think about when Noah Brown was brought in. They want to see you go through camp. Let me find out that my guys internally can't do it before I call on outside help. I think the same thing's coming with defensive end. It's going to be a big camp for Javonte John-Baptiste, for Jalen Holmes, for name your edge rusher that's on this roster right now. They are going to have to earn it. If they don't, boop, 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 boop. Cincinnati, I have a 3rd-round pick. I have a 4th-round pick. What is the price on this cat? We need pass rush help. And I think by the time it gets to that point, Henderson's probably doing his own holdout song and dance, and that thing, the price is probably lowered on it. But I think it'd be foolish to shut the door on that, because you still, as much as you want to believe and buy what they're selling, this group on paper does not put fear in the heart of, like, Quince Orchard High School. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
In terms of getting after the quarterback.
I mean, again, the money they spent on Javon Kinlaw, and I know we're talking about Dietrich Wise here, but I would have used that on Harold Landry, right? I mean,
Guy that's done it before, is that production?
There aren't a ton of great options again in the pass rush space. Like, if you've got one, you lock him up. The same way if you've got a superstar quarterback, you lock him up. The free agent market in all the sports, really, especially basketball and football, isn't what it once was. There are a few positions, though, where you can go shopping and get something good. Again, see the cornerback spot.
Yeah.
Defensive end, it's, you know, Josh Sweat. Chase Young got the second most money AAV this year.
I
have no interest in spending $17 million on that guy. Same way with Hassan Reddick at this stage after a couple different fiascos.
A
few years ago, unbelievable for Philadelphia. What a story. No thanks. I'm not going to the Joey Bosa market either, like after all the wear and tear there. So I understand that. But I don't know. To me, this, again, was a spot. If you're going to give Javon Kinlaw that, I think it was 14.5 for him, or something, or close to it, you know, or maybe a little bit less, I would have done that for Harold Landry. But, you know, they're going again by this. We're going to stop the run and basically turn our guys or allow them to pin their ears back, that old cliche, and be one-dimensional when it comes to pass rushing downs.
You know what now can't be an excuse is we don't have the personnel. They have said, hey, we're going to do everything we can to stop the run. If they can't stop the run, and like I said last segment, we're going to find out very early in the season how much better they got in that department, I'm going to have issues. And I'm going to question how they're allocating their resources. And that would be the first time, I guess, that we're doing this as a fan base when it comes to this front office group that simply can do no wrong at this point.
Well, to a degree. I mean, I've asked questions, and I think that's fair to do, by the way. We're just talking about football now. We're not talking about scandal or nonsense or
it's okay to do.
Or weird immaturity contests that, you know, Bruce Allen grudges that he's having with various players that you hope are playing for you or not, or I don't know what you're hoping.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's fair to ask questions. I wonder about certain things where I'm going, this plan seems a little I'm doing the Michael Scott gift. Like, it seems a little tenuous to do this at defensive line and in the secondary. Like, this plan seems a little tenuous at wide receiver or whatever. Now you enter Debo Samuel, I think it's a change. But, you know, the running back room, for example, we talked about. And I know you can't have an all-star team. This isn't, you know, you turn the salary cap off on a Madden simulation.
Yeah.
You can't do that. I understand that very well. I get how the league works. And there are going to be positions always where you got to get by.
You're a little thin at.
Especially given how unbelievably terrible the previous regime was at adding quality talent. No first rounders from their regime on this roster now, which is unfathomable.
Literally, yes.
Unfathomable. They have a couple hits, and we know them, right? Quan Martin, and you go down, Sam Cosmi was a hit. A couple other guys are players here, and that's fine. But I don't know about building blocks and stars, but I digress. You've got to go cheap in some spots.
Yeah.
Whether it's a linebacker, whether it's running back, and if there was more done in other areas, like had they gone big game hunting and outbid Detroit for DJ Reed, or had they gone and gotten Carlton Davis or somebody to upgrade that cornerback spot, and now you're looking at the cap going, okay, I get it, they had to go cheap at D-end. I get they had to go cheaper at running back.
Yeah, there isn't that move, though.
But they didn't.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Do any of those corresponding moves. So it tells you that they like their group? Question mark?
They do, and I think similarly to how we saw it last year with, and the two guys I'm going to use is an interesting example, the rest of the National Football League was ready to cast Zach Ertz off, myself included. The rest of the NFL.
Wrong about that. I go, nice signing. That'll be fun.
The rest of the NFL was ready to cast Austin Eckler off. Now, hindsight, maybe 2020 on that, you may be right because of the injury history. But I think with a guy like Javon Kinlaw, they really feel like they know him. It was everybody else. Their scheme's going to allow him to be the best version of himself. If their little bets on guys like that end up paying off, this could be a really good defense. Like, I can see it. Right? It's like, I got to, you know, rub my eyes a little bit and like look down the pipe, but like there is light at the end of the tunnel. I can see a way in which this defense figures it out. But if you can't, I go back to it. If you can't stop the run, you're going to be just as bad or worse on defense than you were last year, point blank. And I think it's a non-negotiable. I know some people think it's just a thought process, a prerogative, whatever. No, it's football gospel to me. If you can't stop the run, you're not a good football team. Go look at the teams that are bottom five in rush yard in yards per attempt last year. Only one of them was a playoff team outside of Washington. I think it was Buffalo. Like, you just don't. Good teams can stop the run. It's just something that translates here.
Chargers were in the playoffs, lit up a huge chunk of yards per carry. Rams in the playoffs in the bottom 10. Lions in the bottom 10. Bills.
Yeah, I mean, bottom five. I'm talking about bottom five where Washington exists.
They were also bad at those teams were bad against everything. The Carolina Panthers couldn't stop you or me. Neither could the Saints or the Bears or the Cowboys. But that's neither here nor there. Again, I know that's what everyone's raised in, but I think the league has given us so much data that says I'd rather be able to stop the run than
Excuse me. Here's the yeah. I keep messing up the metric. I think you're looking at NFL Pro.
Yeah. Pro Football Reference, the yards per attempt.
Okay. NFL Pro gives you the runs of 10 or more yards allowed.
You're talking about yes.
That can't happen.
That can't happen.
Like, the teams that are in the bottom five in that, I think Washington was the only one with Buffalo that made
the playoffs.
Now, that's
totally right. So whatever you call it, explosive runs, et cetera, that's got to change. 100%, I think there's no doubt there. You'll never – because my point is explosive plays have to stop.
Period.
Run I don't care pass. How you get it. I don't care if you pitch it to somebody. I don't care if it's a double reverse. I don't care if it's the quarterback goes out for the pass. Yeah. You cannot give up explosives in this league. And that's where the league is going, by the way.
Yeah.
The league basically said, we got to stop trying to blitz guys like Pat Mahomes and company and back the hell off and make them check it down 15 times.
Triculate it down the field.
Right? You will count on a drive sabotaging for whatever reason. You guess right. You make a play call right. A penalty happens. A drop pass. Whatever. That's the way to do it. If you try to get after these guys, they're going to destroy you.
Yep.
That's the league now. Everybody plays two high shells or clouds or different kinds of zones and stuff just to back the hell off, keep it in front, and daring athletes to be athletes. That's why all of a sudden the run game is back in vogue.
Yep.
That's why you line up nickel, watch what my 240-pound bowling ball of knives, Derrick Henry's going to do to your ass. You know? Anyway, good conversation there. Shirt on Dietrich Wise, touched on everything else.
Dietrich. Can we say it one more time?
Dietrich Wise. It's time for the leadoff. Brought to you by The Window Man. That's 1989. The Window Man has been the educational window company. Get your free and home estimate or visit thewindowman.com's all-new Fairfax showroom. Here's your Nationals lineup. Behind Michael Soroka, leading off playing shortstop, Abrams batting second in left field. That's James Wood batting third, playing second base. Luis Garcia Jr., not the pitcher Luis Garcia, throwing 98-mile-an-hour sinkers the other night. Luis Garcia Jr., the second baseman, please and thank you. Josh Bell, DH hitting fourth. He's playing first. He's batting fifth. Nathaniel Lowe, batting sixth at third base. Paul DeJong batting seventh in right field. Dalen Lyle batting eighth, doing the catching. Drew Millis, and batting ninth in center field. Jacob Young. That is your lineup today in the series finale against Miles Michaelis and the St. Louis Cardinals. Check out First Pitch tonight, 7:45. Nats on Deck starts not long after we're done at 7:15.
Boys got a chance to win a series tonight.
Wouldn't that be nice?
You know, you got six on the road before you end of the break. You're in Milwaukee this weekend, and then I think they go into that All-Star break, and it'd be a whole lot of me at night next week.
Just a lot. I remember those days doing nights, dude, where like, you know, you're used to kind of getting interrupted sometimes doing the Nats. You do a two-hour show, and it's just 4.5 hours, and you're like, is anybody
anybody here?
Are you driving a truck or something? Yeah. Let me know what you see on
talk
the road.
To me.
You know, just come talk to me. Good to hang out, man. Always fun.
Of course. We'll do it again tomorrow, bro.
That's right. We will be back at 2 p.m. Thank you to Darius, to Corporate Claret for keeping the lights on, for Strobes, for little tiny Wesley who enjoyed his little snack. He's got little dinosaur chicken nuggets with the dipping sauce. He's so little.
He had a Mott's applesauce.
He's so little. He's such a nice little guy. Anoka, which gives him a little protein. I'm worried about him growing. We'll be back tomorrow at 2 p.m. See you guys tomorrow.
Thank you for coming.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall. Did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.